Well, it's very frustrating for the free speech community because standing is often used to block meritorious claims. This is one of the most fundamental issues that we are facing. I wrote about this issue, this case, in my recent book, because you have one of the largest censorship systems in our history, if not the largest. It's been called Orwellian by lower court judges. And what the court is saying is that we won't hear you on this issue because you're not the right litigants. Now, I have to admit, I've always been something of a standing dove. I believe that these standing decisions are too narrow because they do prevent the court from rendering a decision on such important constitutional questions. So this issue will have to wait for another day. But one of the things that many of us have been arguing for years is that the government is engaging in censorship by surrogate. I testified about this in Congress, that they have made a mockery of the limits of the First Amendment by doing indirectly what they're barred from doing directly.
So that was Jonathan Turley discussing this Murphy v. Missouri case, which one of the SCOTUS, you know, it's SCOTUS season. They still have some other decisions to come out with, and we're going to discuss all of that. But this case, I got to say, I was surprised. Maybe, I don't know, that's naive, but I was surprised by it simply because, how would these individuals not have standing? And that's ultimately what, you know, the court decided here. And we're going to dive into all of this. We got some look at notes. We got some debate pre-gaming. That debate is tomorrow. Apparently, Biden is infuriated because Trump suggested or asked, because I keep reading conflicting reports. Like, he didn't demand it, did he? Because he kind of already agreed to the parameters of the debate. So I don't really think that he can, you know, agree or demand all that much. But the situation as it is, that debate, it's going to be quite interesting. And so apparently Biden has, he got mad because they demanded a drug test. He's still in Camp David. He's in Camp David. He's not, I mean, he's staying up there for, I mean, till tomorrow. Then he's going to come down tomorrow. They're going to pump him through, pump him full of God knows what. And then he'll be at the debate. So we're going to have all of that. We're going to have bingo. We'll have all kinds of stuff. So welcome to the radio program, Dana Lash with you. And to start off with, this is first and foremost, this Murphy v. Missouri case. And this case, as you remember, let's go back for a little bit and talk just some about the Hunter Biden laptop story, right? Because that's ultimately, I think, one of the biggest examples that affected so many people was that story. It was the Hunter Biden laptop story. And that story, you had all of those intelligence officials that went out and they said, you know, this story is, it's Russian disinformation. This isn't a real laptop. They were trying to act like it was planted, and that, you know, their arguments, and this is what is so fascinating about it, everything, all of their defenses about it are actually what they were doing with regards to Russian collusion and the Trump case. You know, the whole Russian collusion and all of that stuff. And what was the phrase that they all said? Mueller is coming and all. It's just so stupid. But that was ultimately all of the stuff that they were doing in that story was what they were accusing everybody else of. So the New York Post, that when they were originally ran the laptop story, I was suspended. I'm trying to remember all of the people. Like, I was suspended a couple of times. I was suspended, and then when I got my account reinstated, I was like suspended again because I had shared a piece that was about the technical suppression of the story. So like everybody was getting suspended. It was ridiculous. Like thousands of people were getting suspended for this story. Intel officials were saying, oh, they're going out there and they're sharing Russian disinformation on purpose, like we were terrorists or something like that. Meanwhile, you know, these same intelligence officials that were vouching for the Russian collusion, which was all fake, they were the same people who signed the letter saying that the laptop story was completely false. Totally, completely false story. It was Russian disinformation. This is so bad. These people are such bad people for sharing this. That's what it was, you know, that's kind of how it was presented, right? So now we know the truth about it. And in addition, the government, we got the receipts, were working and pressuring these social media companies to follow through and suppress all the speech of all these people. Not just with that, but also with regards to the shot that they called the vaccine, with regards to ivermectin, I mean, all of this stuff related to the lockdown. And when the receipts came out, we weren't surprised because we lived it. And we knew this was happening. We knew that we were being suppressed. I could see an engagement and all of my accounts drop precipitously, even more so than it had prior. I had all kinds of suppressive algorithms on me already because of Parkland and because of Second Amendment advocacy and all of this. A lot of people don't realize that. I mean, you knock yourself out of the game almost when you're advocating for Second Amendment rights. And I have receipts upon receipts to unequivocally prove it beyond a shadow of a question, not even a doubt. So we lived it. And a lot of us, it hurt financially, it hurt professionally, it hurt irrevocably. It hurt our ability to grow digitally. And now we have this case, and I realize that there are some people that are saying, and I disagree with them. They say, well, it's a case that wasn't a determination on whether or not the government could engage and affect censorship over people. It was about whether or not the plaintiffs involved in the case had standing, meaning were they directly affected by this? Because you had all these attorneys general that were suing on behalf of their states. You know, I mean, Missouri, we talked to Missouri Attorney General just yesterday about this. And I mean, I kind of question that because who did the Attorney General sue for if not on behalf of the people? That Jay Bhattacharya, I really agree with him on this. I actually tweeted him earlier, reposted something that he had earlier because it's completely true. My immediate reaction, and I'm pulling this up because I'm still reading I was reading the court opinion and I was reading concurrences and dissent. My immediate thought on this was that the government censorship is fine if it's done through a corporate agent. That was my immediate take. And I was disappointed by that because ultimately, that's really what it seems like. I mean, whether or not someone has standing, who are they suing? They're suing on behalf of people who were directly affected. They're suing on behalf of their taxpayers who were directly affected. And they're saying, well, no, you know, they just lacked standing. That's all it was. They just lacked standing. And it's still going to be able to go up through, you know, it'll be able to be litigated again. Maybe Elon Musk brings it on behalf of X or something to that effect. But I disagree with that. I think that that's an egregiously optimistic look at this, and I disagree with it because that's one of the things that AGs do. That's one of the things that's one of the reasons why these suits and the approaches like this exist. I was reading particularly Alito's dissent, and Alito's dissent, he said that the court shirks the duty because they're permitting the successful campaign of coercion in this case to stand as an attractive model for future officials who want to control what people say, what they hear, and what they think. He says it's regrettable. And he says it's because of the perpetrator's high positions, it was even more dangerous. It's blatantly unconstitutional, and the country may come to regret the court's failure to say so. He says if a coercive campaign is carried out with enough sophistication, it may get by. This is not a message that the court should send. And so essentially, if a corporation can act as a third-party agent on behalf of the government, then it's censorship. It is, but then the government's protected from any kind of abridgment on First Amendment. That's my interpretation. And I disagree with the syrupy, optimistic hot takes that say that this is, well, it's just about standing. That's what? How is it just about standing? Because they had standing. The plaintiffs in this case had standing. They're representing taxpayers who were irrevocably affected by this. If you didn't get to read that New York Post story, for instance, immediately, you were affected by this. If you watched information disappear on social media because the government was pressuring social media companies to remove it because they classified it as disinformation, you were affected by this. As a viewer, as a listener, as a reader, as a participant in this republic, you were affected negatively. So that's the my immediate, and we're going to talk more about this, immediate perception of this ruling. Now, I got some other things to hit, too, because we had some primaries last night. And one of those in New York, the primary, Bowman, fire alarm Bowman. The guy who actually made a campaign on hating Jewish people. George Latimer has unseated Jamal Bowman in that Democratic primary. That was New York's 16th congressional district. He lost by plus 20. So that's one of the squad down. He was defeated in, it's considered, the race is considered a measure, a battle between the two opposing factions within the Democrat Party. That's how it's, and I think that that's kind of accurate. And do you know the other thing too? Do you remember the video that we showed you? Was it Monday that we showed this video with Jamal Bowman?
Yeah.
And he was running out with AOC, and they were running out and jumping on stage. So that video, where were they? Weren't they in Brooklyn?
Yes.
Okay, so he was 20 miles outside of his district. What? Oh, you heard me. He was a little ways outside of his district. That came out later. So who was he campaigning for? I think we're all pretty curious on that. So what effect is that going to have on the squad? We're going to talk about it because, see, the other thing too, Latimer has a fraction of the followers that Jamal Bowman has on social media, which further goes to prove to you that social media isn't real life. So we're going to discuss that. The debate, the drug test that Biden was asked to have, he's not happy about it. He's refused the request that they both take a drug test. He and Trump take a drug test beforehand. Apparently, they were pretty sassy about it. We're going to talk about all that. We're also going to get into, coming up, the hysteria, because it's climate warming, but it's also climate cooling now. We also have some of the other decisions from SCOTUS that they were waiting on. Brendan Carr with the FCC is going to be joining me at the bottom of our second hour to talk about the Soros acquisition of Odyssey. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, "I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies." Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Congrats, you owe $100,000. As the national debt topples $35 trillion, every American now owes over $100,000 to our national debt. And nobody running for president has plans to cut spending.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I was reading this story about how California apparently has the nastiest beaches anywhere, and now they're shutting a whole bunch of them down because sewage is spilling into the ocean. Now, they keep trying to blame Mexico for everything. But, you know, some of this is also kind of like center state and up north, right? Up in the north part of the. So it's not all Mexico, you environmentalist hypocrites. They said that people in Ventura County, for example, they said that the water was just horrible. They said 7,600 gallons of raw sewage were released in Morro Bay Sunday. And there's just all of, I mean, it looks nasty. It's just nasty. The residents are complaining. You know, how crazy is it that the, it's like a beautiful state, has just idyllic weather and the greenest policies, and it's the nastiest. Go figure, right? Go figure. Loneliness apparently can dramatically increase the risk of a stroke. Do you know what also can? Studies that. I think that it's unhealthy to be lonely.
I thought you were going to say the vaccine.
Yeah, clot shots do it too. The clot shot will also do it. They said scientists tracked about 12,000 people aged 50 or over. People who had long-term feelings of loneliness had a far higher risk of suffering from a stroke. I also feel like maybe those people are just stressed out. You know, maybe there's something to that. Everything's going to kill you. Just recognize that. Everything will kill you. Please, for the love, a planet killer asteroid. Yes, thank you so much. It is set to skim past Earth in days. It's a giant planet killer asteroid. The space rock 2011 UL21 is the size of Mount Everest. It's one of the biggest potentially hazardous asteroids to pass by our planet in 125 years. Pass by. Stop and visit. Please, come see us. I'm so not joking. Either when Jesus or a deadly asteroid or Jesus riding the asteroid, I'll take any combination of that. But they said it's scheduled to come within 4 million miles of Earth on tomorrow, the closest approach in 110 years. I'm going to say a little prayer that comes a little closer, you know, just saying. Pictures. Apparently, Fauci gets a huge perk, even though he's not at his $500,000-a-year job, really, anymore, his government job. He's being accused of trying to get sympathy with all the death threat claims. I didn't get sympathy when I had death threats. But they said that he still gets super swanky taxpayer-provided security. Isn't that nice? Stick with us. We got a lot more to come. Our partners that help bring you free radio, ReadyWise, they want to make sure you're always ready, always prepared. And you don't need a disaster to prepare, right? I mean, by the time the disaster happens, if you're preparing then, it's just too late and you didn't serve yourself at all. And you got to think about this. The stores, they go bare pretty quick. It's stressful. Unreliable services. You got supply chain disruptions. Always have access to top quality food whenever you need it and order from ReadyWise.com. You can use promo code Dana20 to get 20% off any regularly priced item at ReadyWise.com. And you never have to worry about how you're going to eat, what you're going to feed your family. And not only is this all made with high quality U.S. ingredients, but it's packed in their state-of-the-art U.S.-based plant. So from start to finish, it's U.S. food coming at you from a U.S. plant. You know where your food is coming from. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. The time to prepare is now. Visit ReadyWise.com. Use code Dana20 and save 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
We should not be well adjusted to a sick society. We should be outraged. We should be outraged when a super PAC of dark money can spend $20 million to brainwash people into believing something that isn't true. We should be outraged about that. We should be outraged when, unfortunately, some so-called Democrats are aligning themselves with radical, racist, right-wing Republicans. We should be outraged about that.
Dang. So, oh my goodness, there you go, right there. That's a Jamal Bowman who is very upset because he lost by over 20 points in his congressional race. And this was even after who thought that, you know, that it wouldn't work, him running out there on stage and MFing this and MFing that, you know, to show how tough he is. Maybe he should go pull another fire alarm. Gosh, did you see Marjorie Taylor Greene said before he has to leave, I just want to show him that this is a fire alarm. And this is, it's funny. Love it. All right. So this, It's really a very, it's going to be very interesting going into the convention, because now the squad, at least to the progressives, their Marxist God can bleed, right? And that's, it kind of shows that this was, what happens on social media isn't real life. There are people on social media, and Jamal Bowman is one of them. He's got what, hundreds of thousands of followers. The guy he ran against has what, 53? thousand followers. Like, it's just a fraction of what Bowman has. And everybody likes to measure the social media stuff by what you can do to move the needle politically in real time. It is not the same, y'all. There are people, there are, you know, conservative, quote unquote, influencers that get online, and I've seen them on TV. They've never walked a block. They've never fundraised. They have never been in the street. They have never literally done anything for the cause except sit and bitch on social media. That's all they've done. And they act like they're some great warriors for the cause. Jamal Bowman is the leftist version of that. So is AOC. AOC is the same way. And they like to look and interpret their reach online as equal to their ability to move the needle in real life, in meat space. And it is not, as we saw with Bowman last night, it is not the same. Not at all. And he's mad. But what he said there was so, he's so ignorant. America's a sick society. And Democrats, so basically Democrats that didn't vote for him are radical, racist right-wingers. Those include black voters. You see how they try to assert their patent over identities? That's why identities, any other identity except being free in the U.S., is ridiculous. Being a child of the kingdom or free in the U.S., any other identity is stupid. Because they weaponize them like this. That's why Marx has pushed all this division. That's where critical race theory, aka DEI, it all comes from the Marxist theory of division. And it's supplanting the economic tools with these cultural ones like identity politics. And it's worked for a while. But I think now it's played out because people are tired of it. They're not getting anything from it except a more divisive society and more hateful interactions with people. That's it. But for him, he pulled the Hillary Clinton card because they said this with Hillary Clinton after 2016, remember? Oh my gosh, you didn't vote for that old white woman who fell down in the middle of Manhattan and lost her Tory Burch flat? You didn't vote for her? Oh my gosh, you're racist. She's an old white lady. Yeah, you're racist though. That's how it is. Democrats want to assert that patent every single time. They want to call in the chip every time. He also said this. Audio soundbite 2. This was Jamal Bowman on AIPAC. That's the American Israel Political Action Committee. He hates him some AIPAC. Listen to this.
Even as I've talked to voters, there are some who are like, I don't want to share who I voted for. I don't want my neighbors to know.
Yeah.
It's got intense.
It's intense because AIPAC are bullies. AIPAC intimidates people. And my opponent has sided not just with AIPAC, but with Republican billionaires. And because he's been in office so long and because he's been county executive giving people jobs, people are afraid.
AIPAC. But don't mention all the political action committees that fund Democrats and fund people like Jamal Bowman. Don't mention any of that. You can't do that. Good heavens. Can't mention any of those. That is disallowed. Disallowed. All right. So one of the things that we started the show off with was this ruling, Murthy v. Missouri, which I'm really disappointed with. And quite frankly, I think the court acted cowardly. Where are all the Pack the Court screechers, by the way? Where are all the people that have been so disappointed with the Supreme Court? Where are they at? You know, all the people that have said that they're just, it's tyranny. Are they calling for, they're awful quiet on this because they got what they wanted. They got what they wanted. So this case, Murthy v. Missouri, it's about government censorship. Because previously, and this is now the second decision, the first being the Rahimi one, just this season, that from the Fifth Circuit that was overturned by the Supreme Court. The Fifth Circuit held that the plaintiffs in the case that they were correct and that they had their rights infringed is what it is. So it was Vivek Murthy, the Surgeon General, versus Missouri. And of course, you know, you have Andrew Bailey, the Attorney General of Missouri there. The respondents, they had two states and five individual social media users who sued dozens of government officials and agencies saying that the government was pressuring platforms to censor speech in violation of the First Amendment. And there was a ton of discovery. And, you know, that's when all of those emails came out showing direct conversations between people in the Biden administration and people with Facebook and people with X and YouTube and everything else. And so that's what they alleged in this case. They said that in the Fifth Circuit, you know, they were saying, yeah, they were coerced. They were encouraged to moderate the speech, these social media platforms. But now what the court determined, and I was actually on break just reading Amy Coney Barrett's written decision for the majority, they were saying that she said it begins and ends with standing. And they said neither the individual nor state plaintiffs have established standing to seek an injunction against any defendant. You know, people who actually were affected by the actual censorship. That's like saying if you had your stuff, you know, deleted on social media, I guess you don't have standing. It's just, it's insane. This case is, this decision is just incredibly disappointing. Missouri and Louisiana let it. Eric Schmidt, who was then Attorney General, was lead in this case. Now he's senator. And any kind of view that was critical of Biden, any kind of view, I mean, again, going back to the laptop, all of that stuff. So even the people, social media users and states on behalf of their constituents brought the suit. How in the ever-loving hell is that not standing? And by the way, saying that it's not standing is a cop-out. That's an absolute cop-out. And I mean, they even admit so. Alito even says in his dissent, to which Gorsuch and Thomas concurred, he even says that it's cowardice. Barrett was agreed with by Sonia Sotomayor, Kagan, and Ketanji Brown Jackson. She wrote for the majority. She said the plaintiffs have a redressability problem. Without evidence of continued pressure from the defendants, the platforms remain free to enforce or not to enforce their policies. And she even says that it's, I mean, she says, we lack jurisdiction to reach the merits of the dispute. This was active intervention on behalf of the federal government into the free speech of American citizens, using as a third party a corporate entity. That is the very definition of censorship. Rights being violated, and the people who brought this case based on that offense and the AGs of Missouri and Louisiana who had filed, that is standing if you want to have a definition of standing. Alito says in his dissent, where he was joined by Gorsuch and Thomas, quote, the lower court's assessment of the voluminous record is correct. This is one of the most important free speech cases to reach this court in years. He said freedom of speech serves many valuable purposes. And he gets into how the speech at issue falls squarely into these categories, talking about advances of humanity, store of knowledge, thought and expression in fields like science, history, et cetera, et cetera. He says, quote, it concerns the virus, which has killed more than a million Americans. Our country's response to the pandemic was and remains a matter of enormous social, medical, political, geopolitical, and economic importance. And our dedication to a free marketplace of ideas demands that dissenting views on such matters be allowed. And he says, now we know the valuable speech was suppressed. He says, and that is what inevitably happens when entry to the marketplace of ideas is restricted. Alito continues in his dissent and says, quote, of course, purely private entities are not subject, like newspapers, are not subject to the First Amendment. As a result, they can publish or decline to publish whatever they wish. But government officials may not coerce private entities to suppress speech. He cites the Volo case. And this is what happened. Now, Volo, that was Volo and the Rifle Association. They said that he cites the case of what happened. That was earlier this year, that case and the precedent that it set. He says that the decision sets, in this case, he writes that it's essentially incentivizing punts like this. He says these past and threatened future injuries were caused by and traceable to censorship that officials coerced. The evidence was more than sufficient to establish one of the users standing to sue. He cites case law on it. He said, we are obligated to tackle the free speech issue that the case presents. The court, however, shirks that duty and thus permits the successful campaign of coercion in this case to stand as an attractive model for future officials who want to control what people say, hear, and think. He adds, what the officials did in this case was more subtle than the ham-handed censorship found to be unconstitutional in Volo. And Volo is a great citation for that. He says, but it was no less coercive. And he cites the high positions of the perpetrators involved all the way up to the executive office. He goes, and that makes it more dangerous. He says it's blatantly unconstitutional. Now, if a plaintiff can establish standing, you know, to satisfy the court, then, you know, they'll hear this case again. But you realize the high bar that they've set for that? If these people who previous case law establishes provided more than enough evidence to argue injury due to the government's censorious actions, then how in the hell can anyone else meet whatever standard of measure they're establishing here, this high bar of standing? This was a cowardly punt, plain and simple. That's it. Now, Congress could do something about it, but they're not going to. And it's not, and I want people to realize this is on the voter. Oh, don't say that it's not. This is years of apathy and just checking the box of voting and thinking that is your duty and nothing more. It's coming home to roost. Nobody wants to say it because everyone wants to play butt kiss. Nobody wants to anger the people who vote for them or who read their stuff, et cetera, et cetera. But that's the truth, and we're all indicted in this. Now, if you think that this could be used as justification to further pursue censorship, you're right, because it absolutely can. I mean, I don't know. Maybe what sort of standing is established here? They still have a bunch of cases. They got the ruling on Trump's immunity. That's going to happen. And they only have 2 days, so everything's going to drop this week because their term ends after this week. But this, I think, is incredibly disappointing. I don't think that you can just say, well, it's a lack of standing. These people had, the evidence was sufficient. I mean, that's why, I mean, you didn't have a majority ruling on this. You had three of the most conservative justices, Alito and Thomas and Gorsuch, saying that this is, particularly Thomas, saying that this is, no, what are you talking about? There's no standing. There's no standing? That's like me bringing a case before SCOTUS saying that I was injured by having all these suppressive algorithms put over me because I was tweeting about the pandemic or about the laptop, and then I was, you know, professionally harmed by it. And because you can make money off social media, I was financially harmed by it, and them telling me that I don't have standing. It's the exact same thing. So what is this magical litmus test of standing now that they've basically established with precedent? Turbocharging your metabolism has never been simpler thanks to the innovative handheld metabolic coach Lumen. This revolutionary device empowers you to optimize your metabolism efficiently and effortlessly. And with Lumen, you can master the strategies to keep your metabolism humming at its best. Now, Lumen is a breath-based metabolic tracker. You breathe into the Lumen at the start of your day to get a metabolism snapshot and a personalized nutrition plan. And then the app tells you if you're burning fat or carbs. You can get customized tips for nutrition, workouts, sleep, stress. Lumen helps you to know with real data what your body needs. Now, your metabolism is your body's rocket engine. It powers everything that you do. And with Lumen, you can expect easier weight management, balanced energy, fitness gains, and find it easier to go to sleep. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, visit lumen.me/Dana Show and get 15% off of your Lumen. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. One word for 15% off your purchase. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. And thanks to Lumen for sponsoring this episode.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Okay, this is the fatness spectrum. A small fat is a size 18 and lower, 1X or 2X. I'm a 4X, 5X. I'm a size 26, sometimes 28. I am the super fat you say I'm speaking of.
What in the world? So this chick now says that there's a spectrum chart for fatness and that your oppression is directly related to your body mass. Correct? And that if you are not fat enough, then you don't get to speak out as much as someone who is selfish with mass. I don't know. Gratuitous mass?
It's almost like gravity.
What?
Like the larger you are, the more gravity you have?
She literally goes, if you're small fat, why are you speaking over super fats? Really?
Right. And if you're a gas giant, you get more rights.
What is she in? Like, what is, what did she say what thing she's in?
What?
The super, is she fat? There's Infinifat? I don't even know what that is.
Infinifat?
Yeah.
I guess that's if you're above a certain size. So she said she's
Is this
in
a real thing? Like, are they actually, hang on. Let me look.
So it looks like she's in the super fat range. Right?
Oh my gosh, it's a real thing. Understanding the fat spectrum. No. So the small fats are 1X, 2X.
Small fat.
Size 18 and lower, and they can find clothes that fit at mainstream brands. Mid fat really have to do plus brands and online, 2X, 3X. Super fats, they have to wear the highest sizes at plus brands. Mm. 4X, 5X. Infinifat can't, I mean, no. They have to have like stuff made for them.
So she's a super fat.
Yeah, I think she says she's a super fat.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why she cannot employ the same amount of discipline with her health that she does with her eye makeup? I'm just curious. This is so dumb. People want to victimize themselves over everything. I just... You know, if you're, she made a chart, put the effort into exercise. We have the whole other hour coming up. Brennan Carr of the FCC will be joining us. So stick around. Our partners over at Kel-Tec, great Florida company. And the story of Kel-Tec, George Kellgren coming to the United States from Sweden. This is back in like 1991. And basing the company in Florida, creating pistols, rifles, shotguns, accessories, all kinds of gear. And they've been continuing their mission of game changing innovation with their Sub 2K Gen 3. We've talked for a good half year about the Sub 2K Gen 3. Light, foldable, effective. The Gen 3 version, you don't have to detach your favorite optics anymore to fold it in half. You can do so. Keep your optics, all that on. Folds right in half just as quickly and easily deploys as well. Upgraded action, redesigned operating handle for added comfort, lightened action for easy racking, ambidextrous bolt hold open, all providing improved manipulation, lightened 5-pound pull on the trigger. Firearms that are quality made right here in the U.S. of A. So see everything Kel-Tec has to offer for yourself at KelTecWeapons.com and be sure to follow them on social media. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Do you think some of the rhetoric, Speaker Johnson, I mean, just knowing you and how you conduct yourself, do you think some of the rhetoric is out of line when people from Trump's team are suggesting that Trump himself, that Biden is going to be on cocaine when he's on that debate stage Thursday night?
Look, there's a lot of things that are said in jest. Of course, no one expects that Joe Biden would be on cocaine, but they do ask questions, and I think they're objectively, I think it makes sense why people are asking, will he be on some sort of energy drinks or something, okay? Look, his energy...
Why does Mike Johnson, he's got this ability to look completely over it and also answer the question at the same time. Like, he is... a breath away, and I know he would not do this because he's a religious man, but he's like a breath away from telling you to go do something unflattering to yourself. Like, I really, I'm over it. Just blank off. You know, it, he does. Look at every single time he gives an interview, he has that exact same expression, right? He's like, I don't think anyone, Caitlin, thinks that he's going to be on, I don't think anyone expects that he's going to be on cocaine. I actually do. I think that there's not a drug enough that's strong enough besides, I don't know, PCP. They're going to put him on some kind of hopper. I don't know what. I don't know.
They never did determine the White House cocaine they found. They never did determine who actually owned it.
It's probably his. So welcome back, everyone. Dana Lash here with you. It's the top of the second hour. We got the FCC's Brendan Carr going to be joining us. Ooh, I know, got a lot to talk about. But the debate... they're going to have him on something. Look, I'm telling you, when I was at the State of the Union, and I went as a guest of my congresswoman, when I was at the State of the Union, not last, but the year before that, I was sitting up in the chamber. So wherever you see the dais at, I was on the left side of it. So if you're looking at the screen, I would be on the right side. And I saw Biden walk in. He did not look like a guy who was healthy. He was like leaning on the podium for support. And I wasn't that far away, so I could really see everything. When you see it, you know. I mean, the guy's not healthy. I'll die on that hill. Dude's had he's had strokes. Strokes, plural. There's no way he just had one. This guy has had some serious issues, and they aren't being transparent about it because they have to use him as a vessel for Obama's third term. It's kind of what it is. But they get him on something. It's not an energy drink. and we all know it. And it's not just a B shot. We know it, okay? They're not doing that. What? Okay, this is me not knowing anything about drugs, first off. Did I welcome everybody back, Top of the Second? I did. Make sure you watch us on Rumble and X and all that good stuff. Sign up at Substack. I just am so excited to talk about this topic because it's like, I don't know a lot about drugs except what I've learned about on Cops. Kane, what can they give him? Like, what would realistically they give him? Not like you're an expert on dope, but, you know.
No, you're right. I'm not. I mean, caffeine is clearly
okay,
the go-to choice.
Caffeine is not
going to
do it. Come on.
I get it.
He's got to go for 90 minutes in this debate.
But at the gas station, they sell these little white pills that are apparently concentrated caffeine. That's supposed to keep, like, truckers that have been driving for 20 hours.
Sounds like they're giving him Fin-Fin.
Ginkgo biloba. I don't know what they're going to give him. Like, what can they give him that is not going to kill him, but will keep him cognitive?
Because you know he's got other medication that you can't have it conflict with.
Right.
But what? They've got to put him on something. I'm telling you, that booger sugar.
Every pharmaceutical comes with a couple few side effects. So whatever they're giving him may have a couple side effects, which then they'll have to give him more things for those side effects. This could get bad.
Is it mean that if I were Mike Johnson sitting there, I would be like, yeah, well, what if he is, Caitlin? What if he is on cocaine? Do you know for a fact that he's not? I mean, they did find that little baggie of booger sugar there in a cubby. It was in right down the hall by where he is. So what's up? That would have been my response, just to do it.
And wasn't there a second cocaine discovery?
Can I just also add to how idiotic is it? They're like, I can't believe that you would dare suggest that Joe Biden would be on cocaine for the debate. Wait, you mean you can't believe that the guy who has his actual crackhead son living in the White House, the guy who actually literally snorted blow off of hookers' butts, you don't believe, and there's video of it because he is an oversharer, you honestly don't believe that there could be cocaine associated with that family? The guy who banged his sister-in-law, that guy, you know, Joe Biden, there's some questions as to when his relationship with Jill Stein and his relationship with his dead wife ended. I mean, you're shocked. Oh, my heavens. Pass me the smelling salts. We're bringing class up in the White House. Right? They act like, I can't believe you suggested that. Right. Your guy got... Your other guy that you lionized, who's been raising money for Joe Biden, got a hukta in the Oval Office. Okay? Let's not. Are you all right over there, Kane?
I'm okay.
It's like being on Thunder River at Six Flags, isn't it?
It kind of is.
I always hated that ride. You know why? Not because it was like a ride that was scary or because, you know, I thought we were going to flip. It's because I was buckled in to a floating device with a bunch of damn people I didn't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Those people scared me more than the actual ride itself. You know, you could have Godzilla waiting at the end with an open mouth and we had to get past it. That wouldn't scare me. Being trapped on a floating device with those people, that's where my fear of cruises came from, really. That's terrifying. But anyway, everybody knows he's going to be on something. I don't know. They're going to dope him up like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. I bring love. And that's who you're going to see on stage at the debate. I was on Jesse Waters last night and I was saying that because they're not going to have an audience, so he can't stick London Roberts out there with Navy Jones. But he can't have her as part of his entourage, because you know these dudes are going to be traveling with entourages. Well, in Joe Biden's case, it's going to be visiting angels. But they're going to be traveling with entourages, and Trump should have her as a part of his entourage. Now, I had said last night that I think Trump's biggest disadvantage is not having an audience. Because think about it. There are people that when they perform or when they speak, they feed off of the energy of the audience. And I'll tell you that if I tape stuff as opposed to doing it live, I don't know, it's weird. You just know the difference, right? If I'm speaking in front of groups and there's a smaller group as opposed to a big giant group, you feel it. You play off the energy of those people. And that's one of the things that Trump really does. And so I think the biggest disadvantage that he has is not having an audience there to feed off that energy. That's, you know, to Biden's, that plays more into Biden's sphere. But I don't really think the only reason he's not having an audience is so they can't see how bad off he is, which that's all you're going to hear about from Trump after this debate, by the way. You know it. Somebody needs to sneak some like surreptitious video of Biden like shuffling around. That needs to come out. That video needs to come out from this debate. You need to get in there in his green room, something. But that's, I think Biden's going to try to push Trump's buttons, but he's going to have to be really doped up to be able to string together the thought process to do something like that. And it's really easy to pick to push Joe Biden's buttons. Joe Biden, and I remember before he was vice president, and even if you look at videos of him like in the 70s, he's always been a jackwagon. He always has been a jerk. He's always been, hasn't he? Like an arrogant, but arrogant in a way that's offensive to people with merit. Because he's like a dumber John Kerry. Wow. He is. Think about it. John Kerry, he has a sugar mama. He married money. And that's why I say Joe Biden's a dumber John Kerry, because Joe Biden couldn't even do that. So that's why he's got all those mortgages on his house, like 15 on one house. I don't even know how that's possible. How do you do that? I don't know. And Kane worked in finance and we're both like, what? How do you do that? That's just one house. And he's got all this debt. So John Kerry at least married money. Joe Biden didn't. And they're both real arrogant. John Kerry is a little slower, but he's still super arrogant. And Joe Biden has always been arrogant, but now he's trying to go for the softer pawpaw approach, right? He wants to be seen as the soft pawpaw. That's his whole thing going in this debate. He wants to make Trump look like the jackwagon and he come off of the soft pawpaw. But see, you can push Biden's buttons. It's super easy to make him mad. All Trump has to do, if there's a way that he can artfully, well, he just needs to mention Hunter outright. And if Joe brings up Bo, then Trump needs to go, now which story is this again? Trump needs to go, which story is this again that you're sharing here? That'll really push his buttons. But then they're going to be muting the mic, but you know he's still going to be able to hear him, right? Trump just has to push Biden's buttons, and that'll upend the whole apple cart for Democrats. All they have to do is make sure that Biden keeps breathing on stage, and that will be considered a moderately successful night for them. That's all they got to do. Make sure he doesn't fall. Make sure he doesn't deuce his pants. Make sure that, you know, he stays, you know, he's upright and that he's breathing. That's all they got to do.
That's a tall order.
It's a tall order, you know, but that's why he's going to have visiting angels out there helping him, right? They're going to actually plonk him right down on the stage right before the debate starts. It's true story. But I don't know. You know, I don't think I'm ever going to be watching a debate as closely as I'm going to be watching this one, except the one where it was, I did watch the Hillary Trump one and she got mad because where she was standing, he would walk over to her and it made her mad. Oh my gosh, it's going to be a Smiling Friends episode, isn't it? This whole debate. It's going to be like that, isn't it? Yeah, it is. It's going to be like that. All right, and we're watching it. And we've got Steve has completed the bingo card. Now, you're going to be able to play along, and I want you to share your progress. We're going to be doing this onto Facebooks. And I'm also going to have I'm trying to figure out, I got some debate coverage with Fox, pre-debate stuff. So I'm trying to figure out if it's a chat or thread, how we're doing it. But and Lorraine will be helping helm that. But we do have, it's the Dana Show debate bingo. Now let's, you know, you got your bonus space in the middle, but let's look at this. My favorite, I don't know what my favorite one is yet, but I love, because, you know, all of these are stuff that they've said over and over again. Price of McDonald's. Talk class at Penn.
Wait, we're going to get Amtrak. Hold on, we're going to get into this. Hold on, let's.
Okay, yes, yeah, Steve.
He's all right, now you can go.
Okay, all right. It is the Dana Show debate bingo, featuring the Joe Biden free space. There we go. Look at all of these options that you have. Not a joke. Amtrak. Come on, man. Border invasion. You got CNN brings up J6. You know that's going to happen. Trump brings up Hunter. Tells Bo's story. Crooked Joe. How many times is he going to say Crooked Joe? I'm waiting. Now, is Crooked Joe on there more than
twice? Yeah, Crooked Joe's on there twice.
Is it? Like. Did I have a typo?
Top right corner.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
Oh, okay,
that's all right. That's all right. We'll fix it. Yeah, Crooked Joe's on
you
twice.
Can make one of them sleepy.
Sleepy.
There we go. I'll do that right now.
Forth. He goes back and forth from
Sleepy Joe to Crooked Joe. That is true.
Got it.
Here's the deal. Convicted felon. You know that phrase is going to come up so many times. Biden. They're going to tell Biden to say that repeatedly to Trump. To make him mad. Now, everybody's got a currency, right? I've said this a million times. Everybody has a currency. And Joe Biden's currency is legacy. He wants to be like the new Kennedys. And if you insult that and make him look like the trash that he is, he gets very upset by that. Trump's currency is public adulation. He loves the love of the public. And so I don't know how Democrats are going to deal with that. This is going to be a tall order for them. They're all freaking out. You know this, right? They're shining up Gavin Newsom as we speak right now. They're shining him up. Kamala Harris is just sitting in a corner somewhere, just cackling. Can I be real? I don't think anybody's going to be as excited about this as she is, because she wants to stay VP, but I think she also hates him because she's a DEI hire. And I think she also hates him. We all know it. Come on. I don't know, man. I'm excited about this one. I'm excited about this one. Price of McDonald's, threat to democracy, overturned Roe. I will say there's one thing about maybe the injections. How would you put that on there? The vaccines.
Yeah. In quotes, vaccines, please.
I mean, were you actually given immunity about it? No, you weren't. Maybe something about that. Maybe we'll replace one of the Joes with that. Debt can be an endless source of sleepless nights, trapping you with sky-high interest rates on credit cards and loans. But there's hope with Zero Debt USA, a path out of the debt trap. Visit zapmydebt.com and be sure to click on Dana Show in the How Did You Hear About Us box when you sign up. Zero Debt USA has new aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. And Zero Debt USA can cut or even eliminate interest. And they can also find programs to write off your balances so that you owe less. Zero Debt USA can do all of this without bankruptcy or a loan. Zero Debt USA offers professional support by a certified debt specialist, no upfront fees, and 24/7 access to all your account information through online client portal. Zero Debt USA will find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Zero Debt USA first and talk to them for free and find out how fast they can help get you out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
An idiotic tourist was detained after carving their name into an ancient wall in Pompeii. Why would you do this? And he's been ordered to pay for its restoration. The tourist was from Kazakh and arrested at the archaeological park of Pompeii, which is huge. He scratched the letters Ali into the plaster wall of the House of Che. And that's the Kazakh news agency reported it. And it was reported to their local police, the Carabinieri, and they took him into custody. They got photos of it. Scratched his name into, because a lot of those, they still have the mosaics. They still have the paint on the walls. It's just amazing, the preservation. Why in the world someone thinks that they can do that? I don't know. Just stop. Finland becomes the first country in the world to start vaccinations for humans because of bird flu. Seriously. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's totally healthy and all that, right? Yeah. It's like the last stuff was. Yeah, sure. Okay. A top Spanish court has ruled that a kiss without consent is sexual assault. Isn't it like, wouldn't it be battery here or something that effect? Yeah, so a historic moon mission has moved China. I don't believe this. I don't believe China's gone to the moon at all. Nope. I think this is dumb. They said that a Chinese spacecraft, took some rock samples from the far side of the moon, and that's moved China ahead in the space race with the U.S. Wait a minute. How do you figure, New York or Wall Street Journal? They got some moon rocks. We sent people, and we brought a butt ton of moon rocks back. So I have a million. Seriously, all these years later, now stop. A box carrying 8 tons of avocado overturned on Highway 101, blocking the northbound lanes. But what about the avocados? That's all we really care about. They're expensive now. Super expensive. 16,000 pounds of avocados. And they had avocados everywhere. And they said that most of the truck's load was saved, but some did spill in the collision. Stick with us. Brennan Carr with the FCC is next. Do you guys remember back in 2020 when store shelves were empty and nobody could find ammunition? That was such a bummer. Actually, it sucked out loud. Nobody liked that. It was hard to find stuff. Like, we were calling up all these different retailers like, do you guys have any coming in? Do you guys have this coming in? Well, what if you didn't have to worry about that? So this is where Ammo Squared comes in. They can help you stay stocked up on ammunition automatically. Like, you never have to worry about it. So it's truly automated. You set it and you forget it. It's an ammo purchasing program. I've never been more happy about anything automatic before in my life, you know, other than, you know, automatic rifles. Pick your calibers, you set your budget, you select a shipping trigger, and that's it. And then your ammo builds up over time and it's delivered automatically when you want it. And then as the ammo builds up in your account, it's stored for free in their super swanky climate controlled warehouse. It's secure, it's insured, it's safe from threats until you want it. Especially in these tough times with rising crime, this is a very budget-friendly way to ensure that you always have ammunition when you need it. It's customizable to your budget. Build your stockpile. It's like contributing to a savings account or a 401k. And it was started in Idaho in 2015. They have over 30,000 customers across the country. It's Ammo Squared, a unique way to get your ammunition. Buy low, dollar cost average over time, then cash out when prices rise, or take delivery and skip the high prices in the market. It's awesome. There's no minimum to buy, no memberships, no extra fees. You can buy ammo on a small budget. Watch it grow. Visit them at ammosquared.com/Dana to get started and get free ammo when you sign up. That's ammosquared.com/Dana to sign up and get your free ammo.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of the second hour. You can listen coast to coast for now on any of our terrestrial stations. You can also watch the simulcast, Channel 347 DirecTV, Rumble, X, Facebook, all the places, and sign up to the newsletter over at Substack. Okay, as soon as we saw this issue blown up, we knew we had to go and shine the bat signal for Brendan Carr. The FCC. You all know Mr. Carr, who will address however he would choose to, because he wields a huge sword over at the FCC. He's a commissioner on the Federal Communications Commission, previously general counsel of the FCC. He joins us now via Skype. Mr. Carr, always so good to see you, my friend. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time today. So we've been talking about this whole Soros Odyssey, $400 million into Odyssey last February. I'm just going to come right out with it. Are we all going to get kicked off air?
Yeah, look, you know, as you indicated, this is a buy by the Soros Link Group to purchase something like 220 local radio stations across 40 markets, including a number of stations that carry your show in Florida, in Virginia, in Texas. And once this new ownership group backed by Soros comes in, then yes, they have complete control over who goes on the air. And I'd be very surprised at the end of the day if you and other conservative voices like Sean Hannity that are on many of these stations end up staying there over the long run. It would be surprising to me.
That's a terrifying prospect. But it's not, as you were saying, it's not unrealistic. The question, how was this even able to happen? Because I know that there is, a restriction on either foreigners or foreign-owned entities making purchases of radio stations. I mean, what is it like? I think 25% is something like the threshold. You know, it can't be majority owned by a foreign entity, which in this case, this Soros fund, which of course is George Soros himself making this purchase, defies that rule, which is why Democrats are seeking an exemption for him for this buyout. Why does he get an exemption? How is that even lawful?
Yeah, look, this is one where, you know, Congressman Chip Roy has been sounding the alarm for quite a long time, and I agree with him. So what is happening here is the Soros Fund has bought Odyssey out of bankruptcy, but in order to sort of fully control the licenses, the FCC has to transfer the licenses to this Soros-backed group. They filed a petition to do that with the FCC. So far, so good. We should review that on the merits. But in their petition, they're asking for a waiver of the normal process that the FCC applies when an entity has too much foreign investment, as you noted, in excess of 25%. And what the Soros Group has said in their filing is that they have various investors and other companies that are going to have sort of stock or other sort of ownership interest that is going to exceed that 25% benchmark. We don't know where that money is coming from. And they've said, just waive that rule for now. Let us take full control of these stations immediately. And then we'll come back to the FCC down the road and go through this longer, could be 6 month, foreign ownership review process. And I agree with Congressman Roy. We should not be creating a special Soros shortcut. This is something that they should come forward to us right now, give us the information, and then we can make an up or down decision on the merits. But this shortcut process is not one that I agree with.
We're talking with the FCC's Brendan Carr. You said something very noteworthy just then. We don't even know where really the money is coming from for bailing Odyssey out of bankruptcy. We don't even know where, for the Soros fund, we have no idea where the cash originates.
Yeah, that's right. That's what they say in their filing, is that they have determined that more than 25%, you know, voting or ownership will be from a foreign entity, but they haven't disclosed what that would be. Likely, at the end of the day, it's probably not something that would be too controversial, but that's all the more reason to bring it forward right now and let's run that process. And again, I think it's also important that the full commission, so there's five of us that are commissioners, three Democrat, two Republican, we need to vote on this decision. And my instinct is that this is something that not only will the agency give a special Soros shortcut, but they'll likely jam it out at what we call the bureau level, meaning without even a vote of the full commission. And I'm worried that that's what we're going to see, and we could see it any day now. And it's good to see you and others sort of, you know, shining some light on this, because there should be a public debate about whether it's in the, quote, public interest. That's the standard we apply at the FCC for Soros to take over these 220-plus stations.
And that's, you know, really ultimately the point of foreign, for that rule of foreign ownership of American, you know, broadcast, American airwaves. I mean, there is a purpose behind that regulation.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we have all sorts of limitations so that entities can't come in that are effectively foreign governments, like whether it's Russia or China, and own broadcast stations. And so there's a whole process that I think the Department of Justice would run called the Team Telecom process. And so I think it's important that the Soros-backed group just bring that information forward. Let's run our normal process. But at this point, I'm a no on the FCC approving this transaction until we run that normal process.
If this was anybody else, I don't think that they would be getting an exemption. I don't think that, you know, if they had asked for a waiver, if this was some kind of big Republican donor, if this was, you know, Peter Thiel, who was coming in and had some, you know, foreign investment buying up airwaves, I just really don't think that he would get the same treatment. Do you?
Yeah, this isn't a process that the full FCC commission has ever blessed. There are some cases where the Bureau has done this before, but again, it's nothing that the full commission has ever signed off on. And I'm not aware of one at this scope and scale and where it's what we call contested. So there was a group, MRC, Media Research Center, Brent Bozell's group, that filed a petition to deny this transaction based on the same reasoning that there shouldn't be a special Soros shortcut. So there's some Bureau precedents that they point to, but at the end of the day, this is one to me that feels like we have to have this decision at the commission level, and there should be, you know, a robust public debate about this.
Yeah, it definitely should be. We're talking with Brendan Carr, Federal Communications Commission. You had mentioned that there were some exemptions, but they didn't even come anywhere to the, because this is a huge, this is $400 million, and it's the second biggest broadcaster in the United States, and you said that the previous cases don't come anywhere near, so this really is a singular, a one-off situation. Oh, we just lost your photo.
Yeah,
sorry, go ahead.
I think that's right. You know, look, there was a New York Post story that came out and had people talking about other purchases that these Soros groups have done. I believe it was the Post, and they had South Florida radio stations that were conservative that ended up being bought, and those sort of conservative talent ended up moving elsewhere at the end of the day. So there is a track record here that people have been raising concerns about.
Yeah, they said it was a Univision's $60 million sale in 2022 of 18 mostly conservative Hispanic radio stations that they had. And so, I mean, which is still not anywhere close to the amount of money that Soros is dumping into this. So say, if this goes through, what sort of options then are left for folks? I mean, I don't know how you put the brakes on it or you contest it. If, as you said, because this could be fast-tracked any time now, I mean, what options, if when that happens, what are the options left?
Yeah, look, again, first and foremost, people speaking up, we've got to bring this up at the commission level. Then if it does end up going through, which ended up would be over my objection, because I've looked at the record, I don't think the case is there for the public interest to be served by this, then people could take cases to the court. They'd have to show standing, and as we saw from another social media case today, standing is sometimes a tough thing to get in court. But people can challenge this in the court system as well. Or the FCC could reconsider this down the road if there's a different number of commissioners that have different views on it.
Yeah, and you just brought up, that's right where we're going, talking with Brendan Carr with the FCC, standing. I wanted to ask you about that because, you know, I would say if people were to bring up a case on this, you know, obviously I think some people would have standing. But now I sort of feel like the Supreme Court has thrown that bar to meet standing kind of. It seems to have upended it up into the stratosphere because I don't know. I mean, looking at the plaintiffs that were involved in Murthy v. Missouri, I mean, especially I think Jill Hines was one of them. I mean, these people seem to demonstrate you know, a sound evidence that necessitated them petitioning, you know, the Supreme Court to weigh in on this. They were seeking to enjoin the government. They weren't seeking to go after so much these platforms. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that, because that is that how you view this? I agree, obviously, with Thomas and Alito and Gorsuch on this. I was actually shocked.
Yeah, I think the Supreme Court majority got this one wrong. And as you noted, I think Justice Alito in his dissent was right. It is clear to everybody exactly what was going on. The Biden administration was colluding with these big tech companies to censor different political viewpoints, scientific viewpoints, and for the majority to sort of do the, you know, see no evil, hear no evil. It's not quite clear to us what was going on here. You're only looking for forward-looking relief. It's sort of too cute by half. And again, I think we all know what was happening here, and I'm hoping we're beyond this sort of surge in censorship that we've been going through in a country, but I'm worried about it. I think political speech, diversity of opinion is so important. And I think this Supreme Court decision sends all the wrong signals to the administration about jawboning and pressuring social media companies to censor speech they don't like. And at the end of the day, it emphasizes why we need, in my view, some reforms to Section 230 to put some guardrails in place to prohibit discrimination, censorship based on political viewpoint.
I think that's a good, yeah, exactly. And I'm glad you mentioned that reform of Section 230, because when I looked at this decision, and I realized it felt like they were punting it. I mean, at least when I was reading Amy Coney Barrett's remarks on it for the court, her written opinion for the court, because they were saying it was about standing, but yet doesn't it establish a precedent? And this is me, non-lawyer Dana. I have flirted with law in college, but non-lawyer Dana. Doesn't this just establish, though, the idea that censorship, if it's done through a third party by the government, that it's somehow going to be harder to contest for in future cases? I mean, that's kind of what I got out of this.
Yeah, look, there's still some good case law and doctrine out there under this rubric of jawboning that says, look, the government cannot take a third party and compel them and force them to censor someone when the government itself can't do it. This decision recognizes that doctrine, but just says the evidence here wasn't clear enough. But I think as a practical matter, you're probably right. This does effectively, whether they want to say it's standing and therefore doesn't substantively change the doctrine or not, it does sort of take a little bit of the teeth out of that doctrine. And I think that's a mistake, because what we're seeing right now is, you know, censorship by letterhead. And there's all these efforts by members of Congress and others to censor, have third party censor speech. In fact, we just saw it recently, the Loudoun County School District, which has been very famous nationwide for trying to hide malfeasance and try to keep parents in the dark. They just filed a petition with the FCC the last couple of days asking us to censor the local ABC TV news station for shining a light on some of Loudoun County School District's activities. And that's not the first. We saw another complaint by a Democrat Baltimore City prosecutor asking us to censor a newsroom for covering her activities, including the fact that she was under a grand jury investigation. So there is this clear pattern that has taken hold post 2016 of either members of Congress or other government officials trying to pressure newsrooms and others to censor. And it's a mistake. It's a cultural mistake. And I don't think that the Supreme Court does us a very good service today by not applying the doctrine here.
Last question for you. This might be kind of a more generalized one, but is free speech under attack? I mean, I always kind of think that it is anyway, which is why you got to be vigilant, but it seems like we're losing it.
I think so. Right? And I think a lot of this is downstream from these, you know, real extreme versions of whether it's DEI or identity politics. Once you divide the world into the oppressed and the oppressor, then nothing else matters. We can take the rights away from the categories that we label as the oppressor. And I think that's part of what we're seeing right now. Hopefully we're seeing a little retrenchment in these extreme versions of DEI, because, you know, you can't have, you know, free thinking and free speech unless we sort of continue to allow these diversity of opinions to flourish. And so I think we have to get back there as a cultural matter. There's some signs that we're heading that way, but I'm still very concerned.
Yeah, very much so. I so appreciate you always being on top of all of this and making sure that we all know everything that's coming down the road. Brendan Carr, follow him on X at Brendan Carr FCC, Federal Communications Commission Commissioner. So good to talk with you. Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Yeah, good to be with you. Thanks.
Of course. Thank you. Maybe you've come across this if you had to go and get a prescription filled. You know, maybe it takes a really long time to get it filled, or maybe you're told by the pharmacy they don't have that in stock right now. You don't ever want to be without a medication that you need to get better. So do what I did and take control of your family's health with a medical emergency kit from the doctors at The Wellness Company. Now, this is not a first aid kit, right? The kit is filled with essential doctor prescriptions that treat over 39 different medical issues. They have strong antibiotics for infections of all types, including pneumonia, strep throat, ear infections, all kinds of sinusitis, like sinus infections like I always get. It's like having a little urgent care without the $75 copay right at your house. And you don't have to wait to see a doctor. You don't have to wait in a waiting room. And everybody knows that's like one of the sickest places to be. You don't have to wait at a pharmacy. Every home should have at least one of these medical emergency kits. And they put it all together in your little kit. They pack it all up and they ship it directly to you. I've used it myself. I've used it several times myself. I ended up getting a sinus infection that turned into strep throat. And I could not, from the airport, traveling, doing everything that I could do. And then, of course, my doctor's office is closed. I did not want to have to go and wait into urgent care. I was too sick. And I remembered I had my medicines. I went in, I took my medicines, and I was literally, and Kane remembers, I was like back on the road to better health. And I was able to actually do my job and be on air the next day, which is incredibly important for, you know, what I do. You can actually visit twc.health. That's TWC for The Wellness Company, .health/Dana, and use promo code Dana, and that'll save you 15%. It's super easy. It's all online. It takes like 3 minutes. So visit twc.health/Dana and enter code Dana, and that promo code Dana, that gets you 15% off. Again, that's twc.health/Dana.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I just got to say something real quick about our bingo card. You can't call bingo now. You got to wait. It all has to be within the confines of the debate. You can't go. I can't tell you how many people are saying this, and I'm getting emails. They're like, well, he just did all this like in the past couple. I'm calling bingo. That's not how it works. It's got to happen in the debate. All right. So first up, I don't even know where to start with all this. Okay. So the guy, remember the guy in Florida who his house got rammed by space trash, space junk?
Right.
So he wants NASA to cover the damages. Ha, 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 ha. They should. Because, you know, they did it. They said it was, I don't think, a 1.5-pound chunk of some, I can't pronounce that, super alloy. That's all I know. Yeah. And it crashed through his home in April. It re-entered the Earth's atmosphere. It didn't burn up like it was supposed to. So it landed in his house in Naples, and it caused some damages. So he's asking for NASA to repair his house. And I don't know, like, what, you know what, it would set a precedent. But is that common for just, you know, like, space junk to fall on people's houses? I don't think so. So I don't think they need to worry so much about that. You owe the man. Fix his house, right? I mean, it happened through no fault of his own. Oh, my gosh. This headline right here, Jimmy Christmas. Florida man on a tricycle got into a fight with a man that had a machete. You don't bring a tricycle to a machete fight, all right? A Florida man was riding a tricycle and using a flashlight as his headlights when he was stopped and assaulted by a man wielding a machete, police said. Volusia County Sheriff's Office said the deputies were called around 1 in the morning to a beach in the area after the victim on the tricycle got into the altercation, according to WFTV. The unknown man, who didn't like the victim's tricycle flashlight shining on him, started the argument, and then things escalated. The suspect he knocked the victim off of his tricycle and armed himself with a machete that a victim had in a, so it was the victim's machete that he just, of course, normally carried in the little basket on the front of his tricycle. Not even making this up. And then the suspect hit the victim in the thigh with the machete before they began to wrestle with it. The victim took back the machete, but accidentally cut himself with it. That's probably why he's on a tricycle. The sheriff's office said the victim was able to get back on his tricycle, pedal away, and call 911. When first responders arrived, he was taken to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. So they're still apparently looking for the guy who attacked him. So I just, can I just say that I think I'm actually going to blame the victim for once. You're on a tricycle with a flashlight tied to it and a machete in a basket in the front, where E.T. would go.
Yeah.
So, yeah. This is insane. Okay, and this is also the third shark attack story I have seen in Florida in the past week. A man was attacked by a monster shark in front of, like, his house, apparently. So Thaddeus Kubinski, 69, was out for a swim in the shallow water of Florida's Boca Chica Bay. He decided to jump off the dock in the canal where the sharks are. Apparently, his plunge attracted a 9-foot-long bull shark that was feeding in the water. And, well, they're very aggressive. They live near high population shorelines. Thus, experts think that because of that, they're the most dangerous sharks in the world. And the 400-pound shark bit down at least twice on Kubinski, and his wife had to watch. And the guy was, she wasn't a strong swimmer, so she couldn't help. And she can't fight a shark. This is horrific. Be careful going in the shark's house, y'all. Third hour on the way. Stick with us. Our partners who help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at Black Rifle Coffee. Black Rifle Coffee is the coffee I drink every single day. It's the only coffee I drink, actually, because everything else is garbage. They get the best coffee beans from around the world. They bring them to the United States where they roast them 5 days a week in Tennessee and Utah. And they hire a veteran and active duty, too, by the way. They develop explosive roast profiles, this veteran-owned company. And you get so many choices. You get the ground, the whole bean, the K-cups, the ready to drink. You can join the coffee club, choose however many roasts you want, your frequency of shipment, and you get fresh roasted coffee delivered with free shipping to your doorstep. That's so much more affordable than the bougie coffee you're going to get in the grocery store. You can also find apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, all kinds of stuff on their website as well. Everything you need for the perfect cup of coffee. See for yourself at blackriflecoffee.com. Order today and get 20% off using code Dana. Again, that is 20% off code Dana, blackriflecoffee.com.
I'm Adam Kinzinger, and I'm a proud conservative. I always have been. As a proud conservative, I've always put democracy and our Constitution above all else. And it's because of my unwavering support for democracy that today, as a proud conservative, I'm endorsing Joe Biden for re-election.
He's so
my entire life has been guided by
him. I'm done with him. His eyes get closer and closer together every single time I see him. And then at some point, we're going to watch a video of him, and he's just going to have one eye, like a one eye right in the middle of his head, like a cyclops. And the tiny little cyclops right in the middle of his head and one eye. Adam Kinzinger. I'm a proud conservative. Work don't have meaning where I live.
He's like a reverse Fetterman.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lesher with you, top of this third hour. I could make fun of him all day. That Adam Kinzinger. Why is he still even relevant? He's not in elected office. He's only going to be, a contributor on MSNBC until probably after the election, and then nobody cares anymore because the people only care about him so much as they can get him to say stupid stuff like this. Well, I'm a conservative, or I'm going to vote for Joe Biden. No, I would do. It's like, I'm not a cannibal, but I love eating people. What? It's the same logic. I'm a proud conservative. I don't even know what that word means. Florida man's smarter than this guy. But that's, does it even matter? He's so thirsty and so try hard. I can't even stand it. Wah. All right. So that's, we got the debate coming up on Thursday. Trump said that his VP dude's going to be there, or his VP is going to be there. They've got it. Is it going to be, I don't think it's going to be any of the guys that they've been saying. Someone said it could be Sarah Sanders, but Arkansas, you can't really leverage that. I got a clue though. You want to hear my clue?
Yeah.
He's, let me pull this up real quick. Trump is doing an event on Friday after the debate. It's a rally, and it's in Chesapeake, in Virginia. I think it's going to be Youngkin. I am leaning towards Glenn Youngkin.
Really?
Yep. He's termed out after this, as Steve has noted before.
True.
They're going to be at a rally in Virginia on Friday.
True.
The day after the debate. I'm just saying. And Virginia, they're tied. Biden and Trump are tied in Virginia, and he needs Virginia. So you can't have somebody from Arkansas. You can't have somebody from Florida. You can't have somebody who doesn't have political office and created a database to sell all of your private information to the government. You can't have somebody who shoots her dog and then, you know, got in trouble for it and lied about meeting North Korean dictators. You can't have that. Can't have any of those people. You got to have some leverage. And with Youngkin, he gets leverage. He gets leverage and he gets someone to bring in voters who maybe don't, who are Republican, but maybe don't necessarily describe themselves as MAGA. Right? You get all those. And he always wears a sweater vest for some reason. That doesn't really mean anything, but he just does. So I'm just saying he's going to be at a rally in Virginia after the debate. I'm just saying. Steve, what's your thought on this? Because you're, well, you're not in Virginia anymore proper, but you're right there.
I'm currently sitting in Virginia where I am right now.
Right now for work.
Yeah, I don't know. Is the rally in Richmond or Northern Virginia? Big difference.
Ooh, is there?
Absolutely. It's like two different countries.
Let me look, because I think they said near Chesapeake, in Chesapeake.
Okay.
That's Washington Post. So they said it's a Friday afternoon in Chesapeake. That's where the rally is.
Yeah, it's where swing counties out there.
Ooh, the plot, it thickens. Do you think it could be Youngkin?
No, but I don't think he would. I think the announcement's going to leak out before that. I'd be shocked before the debate if it doesn't leak out. But I think if he did, it'd be in Richmond with Youngkin, because that's where the governor's mansion is. But maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, especially if he's going to a swing county. It just would be weird if he announces somebody else. If he's like, it's Sarah Huckabee Sanders and he's in Virginia. Or it's Tim Scott and he's in Virginia. Or Marco Rubio and he's in Virginia. Or J.D. Vance, who's in Pennsylvania, and that's a state that he needs to, you know, campaign in too. Or sorry, Ohio, a state he needs to campaign to. And he didn't go to Ohio. You know, he's in Virginia. That, I'm just saying, I think it's going to be Youngkin. Because he said, you're going to be surprised. And that surprise means that the name isn't on the list that's being floated unofficially. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. That's who I think it is. He's going to be, Lorraine thinks it could be Winsome Sears. I think Winsome Sears wants to be governor first. I think she wants to be governor. Just like some people were saying Byron Donalds. Byron Donalds is going to go for governor after DeSantis. That's why him and Gates have been kind of at loggerheads a little bit. Gates and Donalds. Donalds is going for governor. Gates wants governor. He ain't going to get it. Donalds is going for governor. So just saying, Occam's razor is coming into play here. I'm just saying. So, because it doesn't make sense any other way. I don't think it makes sense. And if he has all those dudes at the debate, everybody at the debate, I mean, it's just going to be like a red herring. I don't know if it could leak out. I don't know if there's any benefit to it leaking out unless he just announces it in the middle of the debate.
There'll be reporters there in Atlanta for that thing. And if he says he's bringing it, I mean, by the time I think the show's done tomorrow, we'll know.
I hope it's before we're done tomorrow. It would be great if they could keep it locked down until like the debate starts and then he just announces and hijacks the entire debate. That would be great. He just needs to take it over. He's not going to face a lot of, because Dana Bash and Jake Tapper, I mean, we saw Jake Tapper at a town hall. Dana Bash is too. She's not going to like push back. He can just take it over. What's Joe Biden going to do? He falls down on flat surfaces. Just take over the whole debate. Take over the whole damn debate. So I don't know. So we'll see. We'll see. But that's coming up. It's coming. I'm just saying, I think it's Youngkin. I think it'll be Youngkin. That's a smart choice. It's such a smart choice. You can't have Rubio. Rubio is not good under pressure. I've watched him collapse. Tim Scott, no. Why? I mean, he's a nice guy and all, but why? What? I forgot. The Great Valley version of Eugene Levy. I totally forgot about Doug Burgum.
Doug Burgum, that's right.
We forgot he was there. He's a moderate. No. He's got like, what, a couple electoral votes? It's not going to happen. Stop. Not going to. And you're not going to have anybody who's not in an elected office run for it either.
But he's also someone who would never overshadow Trump.
But so is Youngkin.
Yeah, but he's actually, Youngkin is more of a successful governor. He's got a nice track record.
Yeah, and Trump could use that to his advantage.
He could, but Trump also doesn't feel great about great governors like
DeSantis. Burgum has
a
super moderate record. Burgum's a super moderate, and he's just boring as all hell.
And which
Jiminy Christmas, don't pick him.
Which direction do conservatives move when they're reaching the general election?
Somewhere stupid. They always go to something stupid. That's what they do every time.
They move to moderate positions. And so, I don't know. I mean, you could be right.
But Youngkin is not a hardcore conservative. He's just you know, conservative. So he's a constitutionalist, and he's, you know, he did a lot of stuff for parents. So that's why I think that would, it's no matter what, Youngkin is the best option. He is the best option.
Center of the spectrum conservatives are considered right wing nowadays.
If you don't want to hack off your kid's willy, you're considered a Marxist. Right. I mean,
no, right wing.
Where it is.
Nationalist, if you
don't. Or sorry, right wing nationalist. That's right. Yeah, you're considered a right wing nationalist or something. I don't even know what that is. I don't even know. But I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to be a private citizen. I don't dislike Vivek Ramaswamy. I've known him. I mean, I get along with him really fine. I just don't think that he has. I don't think that he needs to be in that high of elected office. He hasn't been in the trench long enough. And guys, you can get mad at me all you want to, but I'm really nervous about putting people in high positions of power when they've created databases of private information related to the vaccine and wanted to sell it to the government. You can get mad at me for saying that. Leftists are mad at me too for saying it because they like that kind of stuff, which is why I don't like that kind of stuff. So I'm not going to apologize for stating the exact obvious. I'm not going to sit here and be like trolled because I stated that somebody did something that they absolutely sure as hell did. Like, where are we at with that? Come on. Nice guy, though. Get along with him just fine. You know, he's a good speaker. I get along with him just fine. But yeah, I just, you know, there's you when people are new converts to your political cause, it's awesome to expand the tent. That doesn't mean you put them in charge of the battle. And that point's valid. You know it. All right. So I think, like I said, I think it's going to be Youngkin. I think Youngkin. Kane, last looks. Who you vote? Who are you going for? VP.
I think. I mean, if it was me, I'd look at a guy like J.D. Vance. But I think that we would need that Senate seat.
Yeah. We're going to. I'm crossing my eyes so bad right now because I'm imagining the headache of that reelection. Yes, I know DeWine would appoint someone, but then there's also going to be an election after that. And DeWine's a moderate.
Yeah, I mean,
who do you think he's going to appoint? Come on, people. You're going to get a moderate in that seat. Stop it. Stop
I didn't
it.
Even
don't
think
do that
the,
to us. We don't even hardly have a majority in the Senate. Why are you... Golly, I'm going to jump off my roof.
I didn't
Why?
Even consider the Youngkin angle until you mentioned it. So I think that's... I mean, that's totally viable.
They just need to put me in charge of all this stuff. I don't want to be in an elected office. I don't want to be held accountable to anyone. And I don't want to have to serve in public office because I just hate everything. But just put me in charge of some stuff and then let me go live my life. Let me make these decisions. And then also direct the celebrations for the inauguration because I could do it better. And then I want to go back and live my life and be left alone and be like George Washington and just misdirect everyone with wrong signs all around my property and send them back away. All right. So a few other things we got to hit on. We're going to be doing, we got our bingo card, right? Kane brought up a good point. Should we make more than one? I don't know. I think we're getting overly ambitious here, Kane.
Yeah. I mean, we're not. Winning, they're always winning a prize. We're not giving a prize away or anything, so I guess it's not that
satisfaction.
Important. Yeah,
that's of a prize.
Knowing we have an old senile guy at the helm.
Wow, he's so bad. I'm gonna get all of these. That's. I had people like, I think I have bingo because, and then they were giving me links of stuff that Biden had done in the past 2 weeks, and I'm like, no, dude, no, that's not. This is just for the debate.
Yep. And gotta then. Wait.
You're going to get it in like the first 5 minutes. I'm positive, right? That's going to happen. I don't know. He's going to score a goal in his own net. I don't know. Yeah, probably. Oh, my gosh. I just don't know. I don't know. So we're going to be doing the debate bingo. And I think we'll probably have like a live thread. I have some broadcast obligations and I'll have that officially announced tomorrow. I'm still getting some broadcast stuff wrapped up. For a pre-debate stuff, so I'm still kind of in the unclear on that. But we'll have like a debate live thread. I'll send stuff out if you're a subscriber to Substack over at Chapter and Verse. That's how you'd be able to participate in all of that. That's a perk for all of our subscribers. So make sure you go over there, Chapter and Verse over at Substack. Links in all my bio stuff, all those good places. We've got headlines on the way. Gold Coast precious metals. You know, you're probably going to have to get some because the economy is going to be garbage. We're not going to be able to say anything about the state of the media. So you might as well just go ahead and buy up all the gold and silver that you can. I mean, there it is. And with Goldco, they're going to make sure that you know the ins and outs of the market entirely. That's one of their unique qualities. They have an education-first stance. They're incredibly thorough. It's a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers to explain the economy of how gold IRAs work. They want to make it easy for you to understand all of it. And also, you could be eligible for up to 10% instant match and bonus silver while supplies last. Get their free 2024 wealth protection guide. Get armed with the facts about how precious metals can help you in the face of inflation, debt, taxes, all of it. And Goldco can help you. Thousands of five-star reviews. Visit danalikesgold.com. Get your free gold kit from Goldco and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. That's danalikesgold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, this U.S. record labels are suing AI music generators alleging copyright infringement. This reminds me of Napster, but I do think that there's a little bit of a more of a legal justification, especially if you're using someone else's creation as a way to use your... There was a story of... And I can't remember if it was Stevie Nicks or who it was. She had heard a Prince song on the radio and listened to it. And then she wanted to write a song that because she was inspired by the Prince song. And she even had to go through the whole legal thing to get it cleared. So using someone else's work as even as a basis for yours. I mean, in fact, just not to get too in the weeds, you know, the bull in front of the Wall Street, the stock exchange. There was a little girl that was standing against the bull, a sculpture that was put up by an artist, and the guy who owns, who was behind the bull, sued that the girl, the artist behind the girl sculpture, because hers didn't have, that sculpture didn't have meaning without standing across from the bull. So it was using the existence and basis of that to form the basis of their art, and that was infringement, and they won that case. So I think it's very similar to this. Let's see. I wanted to do this one. So why would you make a statue of Abraham Lincoln? I had this in our rundown for the subscribers a couple of days ago. It was a wax statue of Abraham Lincoln and of him, but it's like at him in the, you know, in the chair, and it melted. It's in June and it was in Virginia. Now, the artist was like, oh, the sculpture was meant as a reflection on his abolitionist legacy. And now apparently it's also about climate. I think it's just stupid. Yeah, it's just, so he melted and his head's falling off and he looks like he's exhausted. But it looked like originally the sculpture, and then as it melted, his head fell backwards and he looks like he's tired and exhausted. I feel like that's all of us right now, but I still think it's kind of goofy, right? Juan's going to show it because it does look like he's like leaning back exhausted. It does look like that. He's just exasperated, like you people. He's like, oh. I'm done with you people. You know how you stretch out because you're just so exhausted. And you're like, oh. Oh, his leg's coming off too, apparently. But you know, that happens to us sometimes too. Why would you make it of that, though? I don't know. I'm not quite sure. Oh, my goodness. All right, so a couple of other headlines here. There was, somebody broke in. The UK's prime minister used his backyard as a toilet. They were arrested. I know that's never a good idea. First off, how do you get in his back garden? Isn't he like super protected? I got some questions about that. Like, how is that guy not super protected? You're the prime minister of UK, of Britain, and you can't, I don't know. Also, a couple of others here. Let's see. How do you pronounce this? The dengue? Oh, really? The CDC's issued dengue fever alert in the U.S. because of mosquitoes. They said that they've got more cases, almost doubled this year. So watch out for the dengue fever. Stick with us. Jeez. Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, first off, you're going to save money, but you're going to also be making sure that your money isn't working against you at the ballot box. And with Patriot Mobile, you're getting reliable nationwide coverage in all three major networks. You're getting the same great service. You're not funding the far progressive Marxist left. Keep your phone, keep your number, or upgrade. The choice is entirely yours. And they'll help find the perfect plan for your needs. They have plans tailor-made for everybody, businesses of all sizes, families, singles, dinks, whatever. 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes it easy to switch. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get that free activation. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's definitely too old to do it. Look at the way the country's being run right now. Look at everything we're going through. It's a lot better 4 years ago.
With Biden, yeah, I think that it's as Americans, we should be worried.
If he was his age and was able to function, speak normally, do normal things like a human could be, that wouldn't be in the question. But he's just not in the mental state to be a president at all.
At the end of the day, it comes down to mental capacity and the ability to handle the job. And I think we've seen that Biden absolutely struggles with that.
But you think? I mean, yeah. You think so? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this third hour. All right, so we've got the debate coming up on Thursday, tomorrow. I don't know how he's... It's going to be just crazy. I don't know really even what the topics are going to be, because unless it's going to be like a general sort of free-for-all and they just cover everything, usually they stick to, you know, you'll have a debate that's like a foreign policy debate. You'll have a debate that's like a domestic debate. You'll have a something that focuses maybe just on foreign policy or something. But, you know, we don't know. We'll see, but we just don't know. I hope that they cover immigration at some point. And if they don't, Trump needs to take it back to that every single time. Something occurred, and welcome back again, Dana Lash with you. Something occurred at the bottom of the, right when we went to break, right after headlines. And I'm pulling this up because it had to do with this abortion ruling that is, apparently we got a couple of more decisions from the Supreme Court to decide. And one of these has to do with the Supreme Court opinion on state abortion law. And apparently, the Supreme Court, this was an Idaho case, and they apparently had a draft opinion posted long enough that people got screenshots of the whole thing. And it looks like they're going to allow abortions to be carried out in Idaho in cases of medical emergencies after they published accidentally this draft opinion, and they deleted it. It pretty much almost immediately. Now, this is in Idaho, and what I don't understand is the state already has exceptions. It's already a part of their state law. Again, every state has exceptions for rape, incest, and the life of the mother. So I don't know why they say that they need it for the life of the mother, because it's already, that doesn't make sense to me. But they have this draft opinion up that's really similar to the Dobbs draft opinion. I'm going to put this up. That was, wasn't it the Dobbs opinion?
Yeah.
That was accidentally posted?
Yep.
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, I think that they had done it about Dobbs as well. So apparently this is about the Idaho case, the Idaho abortion decision. And it suggests that it's going to allow the, going to allow it. It's Moyle v. U.S. is the case. And this draft opinion, because I think the rest is, their term ends this week. So they're going to have apparently more, obviously more decisions coming out this week. But it's this, it's a pending case. It's an, and it gets into whether or not the Idaho law conflicts with the Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act. And the draft apparently says it does. They say that it, and that act was passed in 1986. So this, I mean, the draft opinion apparently suggests that it does. How do draft opinions get published accidentally? How does that happen?
In an election year?
Yeah, it's always in an election year.
Yeah, it was in 2022 last time. We had elections rolling up in that November as well.
Because remember, that's what kicked off all the stuff with SCOTUS.
Yep.
Then they had the draft of, and it was, well, it wasn't the decision, it was the draft of Alito's opinion in Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health. And then after that came out, then there was all of the, and it was Politico that published it. That was on May 2nd. Oh. And they published, it was a copy of the draft majority opinion. And they had an investigation into it, but I don't think they ever concluded who did it, did they?
Nope. So far, we have nothing. Also, nothing in who left cocaine in the White House. We don't have that information either.
Yeah, now we have this. Interesting. How does this happen? How does it happen? I would love to know. All right, so just saying. This is fascinating stuff. I would like to know who. So that's, we're just now following. We're following all of that right now, that particular story. But yeah, it was the Dobbs case. So it looks like they are gonna side to that. Now, SCOTUS did say that. So apparently, the court accidentally published this. Lorraine notes that Dobbs was leaked, and they never found out who it was. But this was accidentally posted by the court. And then pull back down. I don't think there's any. I'm sorry. There's no accident. Because it's always an abortion. This is the second time it was an abortion.
Right. Why did no one leak the bump stock thing?
Yeah. Why did nobody leak that? Why didn't anybody leak this Murthy v. Missouri case? Right. You know, it's crazy. Like, why does this one get leaked? Like, what's the purpose of it? If it's a draft opinion, is it, you know, what's the purpose of leaking something? Like, because in Dobbs, the thought was, is that they leaked the Dobbs case to maybe put pressure on SCOTUS to reverse their positions, right? To reverse their positions and maybe, determine something different, go the other way and keep it federal as opposed to sending it back to the states. So we shall see. Very interesting. A few other things that I want to make sure that we're hitting on. Because Friday's going to be debate rat palooza. And tomorrow we're going to start getting some headlines as everybody heads to Atlanta for the debate hosted by CNN. Everybody heads there. A few other things to make sure that we are hitting. We talked about the Bowman loss. Lauren Boebert survived her primary. She switched districts in Colorado. So she's going to be able to stay in that. She's going to be staying in that race. She was up against a guy in her previous district who was well-funded, and she was going to lose to him. And so now she's switching. She switched districts. There's a story that, this is what I'm looking on. This is a Washington Post piece. A couple of things I'm looking at here. This Washington Post piece says, law enforcement is spying on thousands of Americans' mail. According to records, the Postal Service approves thousands of requests every year from police officers and federal agents seeking information about Americans' letters and packages, and that they don't have to have a court order. Postal inspectors say they fulfill these requests when mail monitoring can help find a fugitive or investigate a crime. But they say a decade's worth of records provided exclusively to the Post in response to a congressional probe show that Postal Service officials have received more than 60,000 requests from federal agents and police officers since 2015, and they rarely say no. Each request can cover days or weeks of mail sent to or from a person or address, and they said 97% of the requests were approved, according to the data, and that these inspectors recorded more than 312,000 letters and packages, all between 2015 and 2023. Interesting, Kane, is it not?
It is.
It's the mail covers program. That's the surveillance technique. And they track down suspects or evidence. It's legal. They said that they only share what they see on the outside. They have to get a warrant per Fourth Amendment to look inside the package or the envelope. But we all trust the government when they say, oh, sure, they absolutely will get a warrant. That's correct. Yes, they will. Do you believe that, Kim?
No.
And they won't say how often they facilitate such requests. That's it. In fact, the only thing that we have that gets into that is there was this audit done in 2015 that said that if they release any details about it beforehand, that it would tip off any criminals and it would show how the technique works. So that's it. They had, check this out, for over 4 years, the agency said it approved more than 158,000 requests from postal inspectors and law enforcement. That's over a span of 4 years. The top people who made the requests, IRS, FBI, Department of Homeland Security.
None.
So you had Rand Paul and Ron Wyden who were asking the agency to require a federal judge to approve this stuff. It's like red flag law, but with your mail. Really? They said that they made these requests. They've recorded, about the chief postal inspector, Gary Barksdale. He refused to change the policy. He provided what he said was a decade's worth of data showing these inspectors, agencies, etc., made an average about almost like 6,700 requests a year. And they recorded data from another 35,000 pieces of mail a year. So for what? What are you looking for? I'm just curious. How is it? What Barksdale wrote is that there's no reasonable expectation of privacy with respect to information contained on the outside of mail matter. Okay. Yeah. But isn't this, Wyden said in a letter that you're subjecting thousands of people to warrantless surveillance. Mm-hmm. You're surveilling what they're getting. That's what this is. That's a sidestep, what Barksdale said. I don't know.
I think it's a stretch to call it like public, you know, like, oh, it's on the outside, so it's kind of like my eyes in public. But isn't it a federal offense to open up someone else's mail or to even acquire someone else's mail?
It's a federal offense to mess with somebody's mailbox.
Yeah, their mailbox. So the only way you'd be seeing it is either doing it at the post office or if you're in the truck as it's getting put into the person's mailbox. So, yeah, that's a little intrusive. And I'm a little uncomfortable at government agencies are all about this.
In 1798, when Thomas Jefferson was vice president, it was noted that he wrote in this letter that his fears of having his own private communications exposed by the, quote, infidelities of the post office had stopped him from, quote, writing fully and freely.
Yeah. There it is.
I mean, dear, you know how grandparents used to send checks for your birthday?
Yeah.
And they would wrap it up in like all kinds of stuff. My grandmother would wrap it up in newspaper clippings and then put it in another piece of paper and then put it in an envelope.
Yes.
She was, you know, merciless about it. She'd wrap it up in a couple different pieces of newsprint. Yeah. Thought it was interesting. And it looked like just, and I mean, if you try to look at it, it just looked like a letter. You didn't know there was a check or anything inside.
So if they admit, law enforcement admits they're doing this with mail, what are they doing that they're not admitting to?
You want me to answer that seriously?
Well, I mean, clearly our phones, our social media traffic, everything else that's quote unquote public, just like they're claiming these mail pieces are.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing it there too. They must be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like unprecedented.
Yeah. Yay. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
We've been through dire times in these months of anguish war. And during that time, I can say that Israel has had no better friend than Senator John Fetterman. Senator, welcome to Israel. I want to thank you for your courageous statements that show moral clarity and moral courage. And you just say it the way it is. And we appreciate this friendship at all times, but especially at these times. So welcome, friend. Welcome.
Well, we stand with Israel through this, and I'm so sorry for what's been done to this nation, but I'm just an honor to be here today.
Thank you.
All right.
And I look forward to visiting you in Washington. Thank you.
John Fetterman looks like he's recovered really well, right? He doesn't have the hesitation like he used to when he would speak, and you can tell that he's like able to just speak faster and not think so hard about speaking, not just what he's saying, but like getting it out of his head. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. That was Fetterman talking with Netanyahu. Fetterman trolled the left because they expected him to back Hamas, and he was not going to have it. And we gave him a hoodie pass. I'm not even going to complain about I'm not going to complain about the hoodie. I have to say, I am surprised. He just needs to become full-on conservative now. So maybe it's a matter of time. I don't know. He seems to get, as he recovers, he gets more and more sensible. Right. Just saying, you know. I mean, whereas Biden went the other way. He went the other way. So I don't know. Well, I don't know. Over on Facebook, we'll have, well, we got the bingo card for debate bingo up there. And we're going to be doing, I think probably a debate live thread, because it's going to be a little crazy. Tomorrow night, I have some broadcast responsibilities. But then I also have, you know, obviously we're going to be prepping for the show and all that stuff. So I think we're going to be doing a live thread. I'll have information about that in the subscriber newsletter tomorrow morning. So it's a perk for our subscribers. You'll be able to participate in that. So make sure you check it out. And then, of course, you know, we're going to be pre-gaming it tomorrow. And then Friday is the debate wrap palooza. That's if, you know, they go more than one round. I don't think they have they have commercial breaks, right? They're going to have commercial breaks.
I'm sure they would, yeah.
Because like in some debates, they don't. Like if it's an hour, they're not really going to have one. They're going to have it. Visiting angels. All right, Kane, today in stupidity.
All right, it is, Whoopi Goldberg made it. Whoopi and by the way, did you know The View, the girls on The View?
No, I don't pay because they bore me. They're a bunch of boring bitches.
Before Trump announced he was running for president, they were all about Trump. They were so complimentary all the time he came on the show, every single time. But now it's evolved into this. Here's Whoopi Pie Goldberg.
Joe Biden knows how to do this.
Yes.
He knows how to do this. He's quite good at this. And you know, you can't refute anything with him because he just, when I say him, I mean...
He rambles. Trump.
Trump.
Yeah.
He tends to just...
Watch what she does.
But can I mention one thing?
She spits. So she spits after saying Trump's name. These women are so disingenuous.
Who watches this?
Emotionally abundant.
Somebody's got to watch it to get clips.
Intellectually anemic.
If it wasn't for clips, I would not know that they existed.
The harpies around the table every morning. It's crazy.
I can't. They're like the type of women that always has to have something to complain about.
Right.
Folks, I hope you have a great night. Find us on Facebook, YouTube, like and subscribe. Substack, the newsletter, chapter and verse. We'll be back with you tomorrow.